أما بعد. The speaker on my right should be no stranger to any of you. It's Dr. Muhammad Jabali. And it's actually, there's an irony in me introducing him, because he's a PhD in physics, a subject I'm actually having trouble with right now in college.
What for now?
And I'll ask him for help later on that. Dr. Jabali is a student of Islamic knowledge, well known for his lectures and books. To date, he has almost a dozen and several articles to his name. He's best known as the former president of the Quran and Sunnah Society. He also helps implement the Quran and Sunnah in the United States with a basic understanding of the pious predecessors, Salaf as-Salih. Presently, he works full-time in the cause of Dawah and writes books on Islam. Now, without any further delay, introduce to you all Dr. Muhammad Jabali.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد أطلب العلم ولو بالصين Seek the knowledge even if it be in China. جزاكم الله خيرا for seeking the knowledge in Houston. And by the way, this reminds me that I need to clarify a common, very common mistake in translation that you hear it from everyone, even the English, those whose native language is English, and they translate from Arabic. They make a common mistake that started from the Arabic speaking people, from those whose native language is Arabic translating to English, but this problem got to the to their brothers who speak, whose original language is English, which is that, and this is only an example, you can see it probably in some other cases as well, which is that when they talk about, when they translate the word ilm into English, they always use science. They always use science. So ilm al-hadith, science of hadith. Ilm al-Quran, science of Quran. Ilm al-fiqh, science of fiqh. This is a mistake in the translation, because none of these are sciences. Science is like chemistry and physics and biology and things like that. So, but the mistake came because in Arabic you use the word ilm for science and you use it also for the other thing which is subject or branch of knowledge. So the two meanings got mixed in the minds of some people and then when translating to English, they use the meaning science. And that happens also like in the minds of many Arabs, when they read the Quran and says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ Verily, those who fear Allah among His servants are the scientists. That's how they translate it. So we have to be careful with this. And not, even though you see it even in the title of books now, that they say the science of hadith, or introduction to the science of hadith, or things like that. You have to be careful and remind these brothers who write these books that this is a mistake and it should say introduction to the subject of hadith or to the specialty of hadith or the knowledge of hadith but not to the science of hadith and things like that. So back to our subject, as you heard the hadith in which the hadith al-mawdu' in which it is attributed to the Prophet ﷺ having said أطلب العلم ولو بالصين seek the knowledge even in China. Even in China. This happens to be a hadith which has some acceptable meaning. And as we'll see, that this is a form of the fabricated hadith, or hadith al-mawdu'a. This has an acceptable meaning. It could be considered like words of wisdom. But we cannot say that it is a hadith. And somebody, it is said in some of the books that somebody was asking, why does the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have to say a hadith which are fabricated? Or weak a hadith? Why doesn't he only say the authentic? And the answer is that these are not a hadith actually, but we call them hadith for a reason. When we say hadith mawdu'a, because the term hadith refers to the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we say hadith, it means said by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why we say hadith mawdu'a? A fabricated hadith said by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It doesn't mean that. It means that the people who say it, they attribute it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, claiming that it is a hadith, when it is not a hadith. When it is not a hadith. So hadith al-mawdu'a, or the fabricated hadith, is a hadith which is fabricated, which is made up and attributed lyingly to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by that, the hadith al-mawdu'a is so low in the level of weakness that actually it is zero in the level of weakness. If you say the level of weakness goes from 0 to 100, 100 is the sahih, and or the most sahih, and 0 is the da'if, then it is 0 or under. So it in that, which means that it cannot be repaired. It cannot be repaired, because sometimes you say if a hadith is da'if and it is not too much da'if, it's not too weak, then by bringing another hadith, another report to support it, a third report, etc., it may be strengthened to become authentic, or to go to the level of Hassan, for example. But for this hadith, لا ينجبر. It cannot be repaired. And this is the worst forms of reports. The reports, the lying reports against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the worst of reports. As he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ كَذِبًا عَلَيَّ لَيْسَ كَكَذِبٍ عَلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ. Attributing lies against me is not like attributing lies to anyone else amongst you. And he said, whoever lies against me, let him have a secure place in the fire. The statement or the wording in the hadith, which we refer to usually as hadith al-mawdu'a, is either from the person who fabricated it, the reporter, or he may take a text from Israeliyat, from the reports, from the books of the people of the book before us, or some words of wisdom, and make them a hadith, and say that this was said by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether this is intentional or not, whether this is intentional or not. And there are cases, I have personally witnessed cases where I give a talk, or someone else gives a talk, and he says, such and such scholar said so and so. And after the talk, somebody says, what was that hadith that you said? And he tells them, I didn't say that, that was not a hadith, that was a statement of the scholars. So if he remembers it, he would go and convey it as a hadith. Or sometimes they would even say, what was that ayah in the Quran that you mentioned? Well, it was not neither an ayah nor a hadith. So sometimes it is done inadvertently by some ignorant people who do not know what they are talking about and what's the difference between hadith and non-hadith. And as in the common saying in the slang of some Arab dialects, they say about somebody who is very ignorant about a subject, they say من معرفته بالصحابة يصلي عن عنتر, which means because of his great knowledge of the Sahaba, he says رضي الله عن عنتر. He thinks that عنتر is one of the Sahaba. So that tells you that some people, when they hear something, they don't know what it is. Yeah, they're so ignorant. In their minds, it sounded good, even if it was said by some scholar. They say, maybe if we say, or even, you know, unintentionally, without thinking about it, if it's attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will sound better. So they say, this was said by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why do people, or why would ever anyone want to attribute something false to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially when he warned so much against doing that. There are many reasons for this. And the most important, actually we have already started mentioning one of the reasons, the most important are the following. First, that some people try or wish or want to hurt or have wanted in the past to hurt the Ummah of Islam, the Muslim people, in terms of their beliefs, of their practices, and so on. And these are referred to usually as zanadiqa. Zanadiqa, the deviant or the extremely deviant people. And those people had so much hatred in their hearts against Islam. So in other words, they were munafiqeen in general, and in their practices they were obviously practices of nifaq, where they claimed that they were Muslims, but they acted in ways to destroy Islam from within. So they lost any hope in changing, adding, or removing anything from the Quran. It is completely preserved. So they thought maybe they can introduce deviation into the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is an explanation of the Quran, as I said in the previous khutbah. So by that, if they can deform the Sunnah, that is an indirect way of deforming the Quran. So that was their hope by introducing false reports into the Sunnah. Among those are some names that you will not remember, but I will just mention. Maybe by listening to the tape you can remember them again. One of them was called Bayan bin Sam'an al-Nahdi. These are among the earliest of the Wabba'in. Bayan bin Sam'an al-Nahdi. And Wabba'in means those who fabricated the hadith. He lived up to about 100 Hijri in Iraq, and he was killed by Khalid bin Abdullah al-Qasri. Another name, Abdul Karim bin Abi al-Awja. He was killed around 160 Hijri because of his zandaqa, because of his fabricating of the hadith, by al-Mahdi, at the time of al-Mahdi, who was al-Mahdi, the father of Harun al-Rashid, I believe. And then Muhammad bin Sa'id al-Asad al-Shami, this guy was crucified by Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, who is his father, the father of the previous one. This guy said, "Ana khatamun nabiyyin." He reported, "Ana khatamun nabiyyin." He fabricated this hadith. "Ana khatamun nabiyyin, la nabiyya ba'di illa an yasha Allah." Here from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said that the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I am the final or the seal of messengers. There is no messenger after me except if Allah wills, or as Allah wills." And he claimed that he was a prophet, so he was killed by Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. So Allah Azza wa Jal raised up, as we said also in the lecture on preserving the Sunnah, Allah raised scholars for this ummah who were able to quickly segregate the hadith, the authentic from the unauthentic. The wabba'in, those who fabricated the hadith, they fabricated it in huge numbers, tens of thousands. But the scholars of hadith of the ummah were so good and clever in immediately segregating and determining which is unacceptable and fabricated and removing it from the reports of Sunnah. As we reported earlier from Abdullah bin al-Mubarak, that when he told that there are so many hadith being fabricated by these deviants, he said, "Ta'ishu laha al-jahabiza," which means the stout scholars, the great scholars of Ummah, live for that, which means to segregate and sift and remove the da'if and leave the authentic hadith. Some of the examples, or a couple of examples, about fabricated reports that were made by these zanadiqa or deviants are the following two. ينزل ربنا عشية عرفة على جمل أورق يصافح الركبان ويعانق المشاة. Which means our Lord descends on the afternoon of Arafah on a gray camel, or you know, some color camel. And he shakes hands with those who are riding, and he hugs those who are walking. Another one, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَّا أَرَادَ أَن يَخْلُقَ نَفْسَهُ خَلَقَ الْخَيْلِ فَأَجْرَاهَا فَعَرِقَتْ فَخَلَقَ نَفْسَهُ مِنْهَا. And this is one of the worst and, you know, ugliest forms of fabrication of the hadith against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and against the belief of the Muslims, by saying that verily when Allah wanted to create himself, he created horses first and he made them run, and then when they ran they sweated, so he created himself from those sweating horses. So you see, it includes many elements of deviation in it, in this hadith, that among which is imitating Allah, or is likening Allah to his creatures, and saying that Allah was created, and who created him? He created himself. And things like that, which are so confusing, that will make a person, if he believes in any of these statements, or some of them, totally lost. He doesn't know what to believe in. So the first reason, as we said, for fabricating the hadith is in order to destroy Islam from within. Intentional attempts to destroy Islam from within. Another reason was to support a thought or a madhab or a deviation, a hawa, by a certain group of bid'ah, like the Shia, like the Khawarij, like others. So they fabricate a hadith to support their bid'ah and their hawa. Abdullah ibn Yazid al-Muqri' reported, إِنَّ رَجُلًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعَ رَجَعَ عَنْ بِدْعَتِهِ فَقَالَ انظُرُوا هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ فَإِنَّا كُنَّا إِذَا رَأَيْنَا رَأْيًا جَعَلْنَا لَهُ حَدِيثًا. He says that once one of the people of bid'ah, which means, when they say the people of bid'ah, they used to mean the people of bid'ah and beliefs, like the Mu'tazila, like the Shia, like the Khawarij, and so on. So that is, these are the major bid'ah that they were most concerned about, the major innovations. So a man of innovation, which means a man who was like a da'iyah, a caller to his bid'ah, he left calling to his bid'ah, he came back to the true Islam, and then he confessed, check into this hadith that you have, because check whom you take them from. Be sure whom you take your reports from. Because what we used to do is, when we have an opinion, when we want to spread an idea, we make up a hadith for it. So we make up a hadith and we say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so and so, and spread it among the people. And because of this, the scholars of hadith, the specialists of hadith, they went to the, took the position of rejecting the ahadith of the people of bid'ah, the people of innovations and ahwa, the people of desire, the people who call to certain groups or madahib, if they were among the callers to their bid'ah, and if the report that they give is supportive of their report. So there are these two conditions. So for example, somebody who is a Shia, and he reports, and he is known to be a caller to the Shiaism, to Shia. And he reports a hadith in which he says, Ali, for example, is my successor after me. Then this is rejected from him, because it is, he is calling to his bid'ah, and it is supporting his bid'ah, and he is a caller by himself to that bid'ah that contradicts the authentic ahadith. So this is the second reason, which is to support one's bid'ah or deviation. The third reason is seeking money out of it. Seeking money out of fabricating the hadith. Because fabrication of a hadith, or what al-hadith, have gotten to a stage at the time of the Abbasiyin, which means after the first 100 years or so of Hijrah, it got to a point where it became a profession for one to stand in the masajid, and start giving a talk in which he brings all sorts of stories and strange things, tells people strange things, and it would be nice if these are attributed to the Prophet ﷺ, because then people will accept them more. They will give them more validity. So he says, Rasulullah ﷺ said, and they start, a story like the story of Abu Zayd al-Hilali. A 2 days or 10 weeks story, which is all they sometimes say this is said by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they liken themselves to the scholars, because the scholars stand in the masajid or sit in the masajid, and they teach people the true knowledge. So these people who were called al-qussas, the storytellers, they try to imitate the scholars by reporting things that they claim that they are valid from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Among the famous of those, it is a person who was called Abu Sa'id al-Madaini. Ibn Jawzi reports an interesting story in this regard, and the story itself actually is weak in its isnad, in its chain of narration. But it is interesting in giving an idea of how things used to take place. He says that Ahmad bin Hanbal and Ali bin al-Madini, Ahmad bin Hanbal and Yahya bin Ma'in, who were two of the greatest scholars of hadith in their time. Ahmad bin Hanbal and Yahya bin Ma'in, and among the most reliable. So when you say Ahmad told me or Yahya told me, that means the report is acceptable without doubt. It is authentic. They will not say anything that they are not 100% sure about. So they once entered to pray in Masjid al-Rasafa in Iraq. فَقَامَ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ قَاسٍ. So in front of them, after the prayer probably, a qas, which means one of these qussas, one of those storytellers, stood in front of them. And he started saying, حَدَّثَنَا أَحْمَدُ بْنُ حَنْبَلْ وَيَحْيَ بْنُ مَعِينَ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ الرَّزَّاقِ عن معمر عن قتادة عن أنس قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he gave the full chain of narration to fulfill his trust, of saying it without any omissions. He says, Ahmad bin Hanbal and Yahya bin Ma'in, both of them, reported to me, from Abdul Razzaq, from Ma'mar. So he selected a chain which is a very clean, very authentic chain of narrators. From Ma'mar, from Qatada, from Anas, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said so and so, and he started reporting the hadith. And in this hadith he said, whoever says La ilaha illallah, man qala La ilaha illallah, khalaqallahu min kulli kalimatin tayra. Whoever says La ilaha illallah, Allah creates from every word of these words a bird. Min qaruhu min zahab, its beak is of gold. وَرِيشُهُ مِنْ مَرْجَانِ, and his feathers, coral, a bird with coral feathers and golden beak. وَأَخَذَ فِي سَرْدِ قِصَّةٍ تَبْلُغُ نَحْوَ مِنْ 20 وَرَقَةٍ. And then he continued with a story that goes for about 20 pages. Which means, he probably says what these birds will do and where they will go and what will happen to them and their children and their grandchildren and so on, Allahu A'lam. 20 pages long. فَجَعَلَ أَحْمَدْ. So Ahmad started looking at Yahya bin Ma'in, and Yahya bin Ma'in looked at Ahmad. And they asked each other, did you tell him this? He says, no. Did you tell him this? No. So when he finished his story, and people started giving him money, so it seems that they used to get money right after their stories. People started giving him money. Then he sat down waiting for other people to come and give him money. Yahya pointed to him, waved with his hand to him to come over. So he ran to him thinking that he wanted to give him some money. Yahya said to him, who told you this? He said, Ahmad bin Hanbal and Yahya bin Ma'in. He said, Ana Yahya, wa hadha Ahmad. He said, I am Yahya bin Ma'in, and this is Ahmad bin Hanbal. And we never heard ever about this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, what he said, Lam azal asma anna Yahya bin Ma'in ahmaq. I have heard for a long time that Yahya bin Ma'in is an ignorant person. مَا تَحَقَّقْتُ هَذَا إِلَّا السَّاعَةِ And I this has not been confirmed to me until now. كَأَنْ لَيْسَ فِيهَا يَحْيَى بْنَ مَعِينَ وَأَحْمَدَ بْنَ حَنْبَلْ غَيْرُكُمَا As if there is no one else called يحيى بن حنبل and يحيى بن معين except you two. وَقَدْ كَتَبْتُ عَنْ سَبْعَةِ عَشَرْ أَحْمَدْ بْنَ حَنْبَلْ وَيَحْيَى بْنَ مَعِينَ I have reported from 17 persons called Ahmad bin Hanbal and Yahya bin Ma'in. So as I said, even though this story or this report is not in itself authentic to Yahya bin Hanbal, Ahmad bin Hanbal and Yahya bin Ma'in, but gives an idea of the daring nature that these qussas had about in regard to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that they would not care if they attributed lies to him, as long as that gives them money and pleases the people of them. The fourth reason is some of those who were known as scholars, but they were only there to please the rulers. There are some people who went to the rulers to please them by giving them fatawa that please them and get some rewards out of them. So this is one of the other reasons for fabricating the hadith. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah, reported, دَخَلَ غِيَاثُ بْنُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ عَلَى الْمَهْدِ Person called غِيَاثُ بْنُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ He went to al-Mahdi, as I said, the father of Harun al-Rashid, the third khalifa of the Abbasi khilafah. He went to al-Mahdi. وَكَانَ يُحِبُّ الْحَمَامُ And he, this al-Mahdi, used to love pigeons. So he told him a hadith, that he attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, لا سبق إلا في نصل أو خف أو حافر أو جناح. لا سبق, سبق means it is like an award which is given if some people are, some people have different animals and they want to race between them and see which comes first. And whoever his animal comes first, they give him a present, an award. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا سبق إلا في نصل أو خف. نصل means the blade of a sword, or خف. خف means the animals which do not have, clothes. أو حافر, or حافر which means a claw. Like the horses. So he added, this is the original hadith, he added to it, أو جناح, or a wing, which means, so he was trying to please him by adding a word to the hadith to please the Khalifa. When he finished and he was leaving, the Khalifa told him, أشهد أن قفاك قفا كذاب على رسول الله. I testify that your back is the back of a long hadith, in which he It mentions the 114 surah of the Quran, each surah what virtue it has. Each surah what virtues it has. So this hadith, you find it in some of the books of tafsir, unfortunately, like the tafsir of Tha'labi, the tafsir of Zamakhshari, the tafsir of Baybawi, and others. This hadith which is mawdu'a. So, and they divide it among the surah. So they say, Ibn Abbas said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever reads this surah, such and such, he gets such and such things and such and such things and such and such things, and they start enumerating the rewards for that. So this guy fabricated this whole long hadith. So they asked him, where did you get this chain of narration? From Ikrimah, from Ibn Abbas, when you did not, you are not their student. You are not the student of Ikrimah, and the people of Ikrimah, the students of Ikrimah do not have this hadith. How can you have it when his direct students do not have it? He said, إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ قَدْ أَعْرَضُوا عَنِ الْقُرْآنِ وَاشْتَغَلُوا بِفِقْهِ أَبِي حَنِيفَ وَمَغَازِي أَبِي إِبْنِ إِسْحَاقِ He said, I have found that people have left the Qur'an, turned away from the Qur'an, and got busy with the fiqh of Abu Hanifa, and the Maghazi, which means the stories of fightings, of Abu Ibn Ishaq. فوضعت هذا الحديث حسبة. So I made up this hadith seeking the reward of Allah by that. That's what he says. حسبة. I'm making ihtisab by that. How do we know that a hadith is موضوع? How do people of hadith know that a hadith is موضوع? There are various ways. Of course, the easiest and most apparent is that the one who fabricated the hadith himself will say that I have fabricated this hadith, so it will be immediately dropped. So he confesses that he fabricated the hadith. And that confession could be even directly, as I mentioned, or it could be through a determination that proves that he could never have received the report of that hadith from those about whom he is reporting. Like somebody says, and this happens frequently, I have heard, like you heard in some of the chains of narration, I have heard from such and such that the Prophet ﷺ said so and so. So he proved himself lying by immediately in the case of Ahmad bin Hanbal and Yahya bin Ma'in, when he did not even know them. In some cases, he reports from people when there's a gap between them. Like he says, for example, from Malik from Anas. Well, Malik never met Anas. Or sometimes the gap will be not as subtle, or not as obvious, it will be more subtle, but the scholars of hadith know it immediately. So he would say that from this one, two of these people never met. One of them was, for example, moved into a certain area, the other one had already left that area or died several years before that. And as Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah said, لما استعملوا الرواة الكذب استعملنا لهم التواريخ. When the reporters started using lies, we used against them tariq, which means history, the history of things, which means when things happened and what happened before one or after one and so on. So this is the one way. The other way are things in the report itself, the text of the hadith itself. The text of the hadith could be determined to be weak by various ways. For instance, if the wording is so rakik, which means weak in structure, not in the structure of the words, but in the meaning, that it could not have been said by the Prophet ﷺ. Could not have been said by him. We cannot say, as a warning, that we can judge a hadith to be fabricated if the wording is weak, the wording itself, the text of the hadith, but the meaning is acceptable. We cannot say it is weak. Why? Because it could be that the one who is reporting it, his language is weak, but he is reporting it by meaning, but not by exact text. So this is not possible to do it unless one uses, or the scholars use, some other means of determining that. So, but the weakness of the meaning is very obvious in many of these fabricated hadith. For example, the hadith which says, لو كان الأرز رجلا لكان حليما ما أكله جائع إلا أشبع, which means had rice been a man, it would have been a patient man, a good mannered man, because no hungry man eats of it, but it makes him full. Or الربيع بن خثيم, one of the scholars of hadith, said, إن للحديث ضوءا كضوء النهار تعرفه وظلمة كظلمة الليل تنكره, which means the hadith, if it is authentic, that is, has a light like the light of day that you can distinguish it with. That you doesn't mean you and me, it means the strong scholars of hadith. And it has a darkness, it could have a darkness for the weak hadith, like the darkness of night that makes you reject it. And Ibn al-Jawzi said, الحديث المنكر يقشعر له جلد طالب العلم وينفر منه قلبه على الغالب, which means the rejected hadith, the skin of the student of knowledge shrinks when he hears it, يقشعر, and his heart turns away from it in the most cases. Also, of the things in the report that would indicate that the hadith is daif or mawdu'ah, is that it would be contradictory to the text, to the clear text of the Quran or Sunnah or the Ijma' of the Ummah, and that it cannot be interpreted in a way not to be contradictory. For example, the hadith which says, لو أحسن أحدكم ظنه بحجر لنفعه, لو أحسن أحدكم ظنه بحجر لنفعه, which means if one of you has good thoughts, even in regard to a stone, it will benefit him. So this is a clear call to shirk, as you see. Or the hadith which says, إِذَا حَدَّثْتُمْ عَنِّي بِحَدِيثٍ يُوَافِقُ الْحَقِّ فَخُذُوا بِهِ حَدَّثْتُ بِهِ أَمْ لَمْ أُحَدِّثْ. Which means, if I tell you a hadith, if you report a hadith, or إِذَا حَدِّثْتُمْ, if a hadith is reported to you, which agrees with the truth, then take it, accept it, whether I said it or not. So accept it as a hadith, even if I did not say. So as you see, this contradicts his other hadith, which says, مَنْ كَذَبَ عَنِّي مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدُهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. And also that the hadith, some other things that the hadith would contain descriptions that are contradictory to what is commonly known, a common knowledge and clear knowledge of the human experience in our lives and the realities that we know. Or that it would include some strange things that cannot be accepted by the true mind, the human mind or the human intellect. And now we're not talking about the deviant intellect that Sheikh Waleed talked about in the lecture before this. But we're talking about the intellect which is in conformation with the shara of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a hadith, like the hadith, that this إِنَّ سَفِينَةَ نُوح طَافَتْ بِالْبَيْتِ سَبْعًا وَصَلَّتْ عِنْدَ الْمَقَامِ رَكْعَتَيْنِ. The ship, the ark of Nuh, made tawaf around the house 7 times, and then it prayed 2 rak'at at al-maqam, at Maqam Ibrahim. How did it do that? How did it pray? I mean, you hear it. I've heard it when I was little from some people reporting it to me or teaching it to me, that this is what happened after the flood, before the boats descended to the land. That is what it did. How did it do it? I couldn't think. I thought maybe the ship came like sujood and rukuh, but I didn't know exactly how. Ibn Jawzi said, مَا أَحْسَنَ قَوْلَ الْقَائِلِ إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الْحَدِيثَ يُبَيْنُ الْمَعْقُولِ أَوْ يُخَالِفُ الْمَنْقُولِ أَوْ يُنَاقِدُ الْأُصُولِ فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ مَوْضُوعٌ. Which means, if you, how good is the statement that if you see the hadith, a hadith that conflicts with the intelligible things or disagrees with what has been reported, that is authentically reported, or conflicts or contradicts the basics, then know that it is fabricated. And then another way is to, or manner to realize that it is bawdu' is the report would be about a great matter that you would expect that many people would report it, but you find it only coming through a weak way without a good isnad, a good chain of narration, or even without a chain at all. Like the hadith that when Ali was fighting, radiallahu anhu was fighting, Allah Azza wa Jal sent back the sun, stopped it from setting until he finished his fighting. How could this not be reported by so many of the Sahaba who were present at that time? Or it could be that there is an excessive amount of punishment for very little sin, or an excessive amount of reward for a very tiny good deed. And I won't have time to give examples, but you will find it, inshallah, sometimes when the Qussas start reading the hadith to you. And then finally, there could be things in the rawi, in the reporter himself. In the reporter himself, that the reporter would be known to be a liar, or an untrustworthy person, or a person who is a supporter of his hawa or of his group. So in that case, this is a strong indication that the hadith is fabricated. And this is just a brief summary of the fabricated hadith, so that we know the basics of it. But we have to emphasize that judging that the hadith is fabricated is done by the scholars of hadith, not by us. But we have to know that there are fabricated hadith, so that when this is indicated to us, we know what it means and why is it. And there are many collections of hadith which are specialized with only the fabricated, or others which mix between the fabricated and the weak. So they take all the levels from the weak to the very weak to the fabricated hadith. So I stop here, and since the time for prayer is coming up very soon, then if anybody has a quick question, inshallah, we try to answer it. Otherwise, that would be it. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa sallam.
We have one question here. Actually, we have two here. One is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that seeking ilm for an hour is better than prayer of 70 years. Is this sahih, da'if, fabricated?
I don't know now. My recollection is that it's da'if, but we have to confirm that by referring to the books of hadith. If it would be daif, it would be because of the reason that I gave towards the end of my talk. Wallahu a'lam.
And the other question is that we see sometimes amongst the muhaddithin that one of them call a hadith sahih and one daif. Are there ever cases where one muhaddith calls a hadith sahih and one calls it fabricated? And why would that happen? And if that happens, how do we accept
it
that
wouldn't.
Hadith?
It would not happen. It cannot happen. The difference would be about a hadith, whether it is hasan or daif, slightly daif. Which means if we say that the hadith goes in level from zero for the extremely weak or fabricated to 100, which is for the top sahih authentic, which is like it is mutawatir. It has been reported from different ways, and the Ummah has accepted it all as being authentic. That's the 100%. Then, and also its narrators are all the most trustworthy. Then, there are a hadith in between these levels. There's a hadith which is very weak. You can say the 10, 15, 20, 30% level is very weak. The 40%, 45%, that means slightly weak. 50%, it means it barely passes into being acceptable. So from 50 up, 60, 65, you can say that the hadith is hasan. And it goes up above that, it is authentic. It is sahih. So the difference among the scholars of hadith is usually in that range between, like you would say, the 30% and the 70%. That some of them, based on the judgment of certain reporters, they would say that this person is weak, and the other would say, no, he is very weak, the other would say, no, he is slightly weak, and things like that. So that takes it from 30% to 40%. Or that is weakness. Some of them would discover that there's a hadith to support it from another way, that the other one did not know it. So that would strengthen it to go up to the level of hasan. But you would not find that a hadith judged by one scholar to be authentic, and by the other to be fabricated. This you will not find among the scholars of hadith, unless there is a blunder from one of the two. A clear blunder that he totally missed a very obvious thing, and then this will be clarified to him by the other scholars of hadith. Wallahu a'lam.
Jazakallah khairan. We conclude the speech with that, and usher prayers in 3 minutes.
Subhanakallah bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And we believe in here now, so astaghfirullah.